Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, first this afternoon, almost 1 in 10 adults have experienced sexual violence in the last year, with that rising to 3 in 10 for those aged between 18 and 24 years of age. This comes as new stats published by the CSO show the extent of sexual violence experienced in Ireland in the last 12 months. Dr. Cliona Sadleir is Executive Director of the Rape Crisis Network Ireland and joins us now on the line. Dr. Sadleir, you're very welcome to the programme. We'll touch on the prevalence of sexual violence because that's really what stands out from these stats from the CSO.
Absolutely. And I suppose what the CSO are trying to give us here, they've done this really significant survey. And this is the second of five reports. So they've essentially attempted to give us bite sizes of this data, because not only is there a lot of data here, but it's hard to take in. It's hard to really absorb what it's telling us, because it's telling us some pretty awful things about our society. And the prevalence is one of them.
Well, the prevalence.
Just how prevalent it is.
Just to go through some of the stats, 4 in 10 people have experienced sexual violence. And more women, they say, are reporting sexual violence now. But 4 in 10 is almost half. It's unbelievable, really.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, this report today deals only with adult experiences of sexual violence. So the first report dealt with lifetime experience. So this does not include any sexual violence that these adults would have experienced in childhood. Mm-hmm. So it's only the adult experience. And so that in itself, so it's a smaller number than the lifetime experience.
Said that, the stats show, don't they, Cliona, that younger women are more likely to experience sexual violence.
Absolutely. And the challenge with them, I mean, I suppose what jumps out at us when we look at today's release is that there's a number of things that they've really detailed more than the initial headline release that they put out about 3 weeks ago. And that is that the differences, you're looking at how people, if you like, are targeted and selected. And what you're seeing is the patterns that go with sexual violence and the perpetration of sexual violence. Mm-hmm. And of course, the pattern we're all aware of, that it's majority male perpetration, it's majority female and child, who are targeted and victimized in this way. But there's also more detail than that in here. So we're looking at other forms as well. We're looking at, for example, people who are bisexual, gay and lesbian. The data here has, we've always known that these people are particularly targeted, but we haven't really had solid good prevalence data on this. So today we have that, and really the difference is quite shocking. So for if you like straight people, the prevalence is 25%. If you're bisexual, the data here is saying 55%, and if you're gay and lesbian, 40%. So that's a very significant difference that we're looking at there. And so it's some of those differences that really talk about the systemic discrimination, how it's based on inequality, how it really there's a targeting of inequality all the way through here. There's a systemic piece to it.
So it's systemic, it's based on inequality, as you say, but there's a growing awareness of it as well, isn't there? And I can we talk about consent for a second? Obviously linked with sexual violence. What needs to happen, in your opinion, around consent and awareness and education of?
Well, I suppose one of the key pieces around this data is that it's been very carefully crafted, the survey, so that when they've gone out to ask people about their experiences of sexual violence, they've really been careful to, if you like, name the activity and what has been done to people, as opposed to saying, can you tell me if you have ever been raped? Do you know the way? So that what you're getting under is a societal piece where we're not able to name when rape happens, when we have been raped in large, so there's a big education piece, but also a big cultural change piece around how easy it is for us to tell another person what somebody has done to us. So in terms of naming and labelling and correctly naming the types of assaults we've been subjected to, that's the education piece. So in terms of, that's one of the tasks of that piece of awareness raising around consent, is to give people the tools to name the type of sexual violence they've experienced.
Are you clearly talking from a survivor of sexual assault point of view? Could I ask you to talk to me a little bit about the perpetrator's perspective, in the sense that awareness of where the line is and education that around consent and so on, because sometimes a case is put forward when it reaches court that the perpetrator or the accused did not know that consent wasn't given, for example. But very often criminal cases hinge on that.
That can be a defence put forward, of course, and very often put forward. And indeed, you know, even when it's not in the court setting, if it's in, you know, a community setting, mm-hmm. where you're having that, you know, that will be the doubt and the seed that is sown. What we would say is that positing of sexual violence as an accident or a misunderstanding or a miscommunication is something that we really need to close down, if you like. We're a little bit sceptical as to whether it is in fact that, or it is in fact our culture allows that argument to be made and allows essentially perpetrators and predators to get away with it. You know, that piece where there is an encouragement to push the line, and people know when they're pushing the line, people know when they're testing the line, they know when they've gone over the line, and they're going to test it a little more because there isn't a consequence, if you like.
And does it go back?
A lot of that awareness raising in terms of the messaging for perpetrators mm-hmm. is to really close down their space from making excuses and for getting away with it.
And does that go back to your point about inequality as well? That sometimes there has to be a very open conversation and awareness and listening to someone who's simply saying no at any point.
Absolutely. And there is, I suppose, in terms of the inequality piece, what we're talking about are a set of cultural norms and understandings whereby we really don't listen to and pay attention to some people in the same way that we give credit and authority and attention to other people. So some people's no matters more than other people's no, I suppose, is built into that inequality and built into how we have established gender norms, for example. So that has to be tackled. That has to be something we really okay. deal with.
Can I ask you finally, this is all adding to our understanding of what sexual violence is. What do we do with this information now, I wonder? What should policymakers do?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're heading into the middle of the zero tolerance strategy. So there's a lot of things happening, particularly this year. We're getting a lot of transformation and new things, including an agency being built to tackle domestic sexual and gender-based violence. But we also, in this data, so this data supports that, and this data is one part of that transformation in how we're going to tackle this issue. The critical piece for us around the CSO taking this on and the state asking the CSO to take this on and to repeat it is that really this is the state stepping up and taking responsibility in a new way for domestic and sexual violence. The success of what we do now will be measured in the future in the repeat of this survey. Mm-hmm. So that's really important. But there's also detail here which really tells us in a very, very practical way where we need to put our resources.
Okay, well, it's a really important study. Executive Director at the Rape Crisis Network Ireland, Dr. Cliona Sadler, thank you very much indeed. And if you or anyone you know have been affected by the issue we've been discussing, you can call Women's Aid 24-hour National Free Phone Helpline at 1-800-341-900, or you can simply log on to rte.ie/helplines for other numbers.